Ladies and gentlemen, this is episode 20 of the Jimson Roscoe Show.
We made it to 20.
Whee! And today we're going to do something a little bit different. Rather than sit here and talk shit to each other like we did last week, we're going to do a best bits reel. So yeah, here are our best bits of the first bit.
Hit the bell button, subscribe. What?
Smash that bell button, you fucking bellends. Oh, and like and subscribe.
That's it. Like and subscribe.
Safe.
Peace.
You can stand on the steps peacefully and fucking sing Kumbaya as much as you like, but people with fucking authority ain't going to fucking listen to you at the end of the day. Do you know what I mean? And whilst violence is and should be always be a last resort, I don't always think that violence is at all times unnecessary.
No, sometimes it is, I think.
Some people are just too stupid to listen to reason,
innit?
Yeah.
Do you want some spiced pineapple?
Yeah, go on then. What's it spiced with? Not spice.
Nah, ginger and cinnamon.
Fuck. This will be a laugh.
Isn't it? Because, like, from a DJ perspective, like, we all work really hard to get our music, our mixes, especially on radio. Like, most DJs you speak to will be like, yeah, I want to get on Capital Extra, I want to get on One Extra. But on the flip side of that, it is like everyone that I know would, out of choice, probably turn on Spotify rather than a radio show, because you've got your own choice of music then. Do you know what I mean? Like I love listening to One Extra and Capital Extra and things, because I can hear new music that they're playing out. But actually, if you're at like a party with your mates or you're chilling or whatever, like you want to choose your own music, really, don't you? And you know what kind of music you're into, and because they generate all these playlists for you almost, it's like your own personal radio show. Do you know what I mean? Like, you can
the
literally
algorithms are good.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I can play one song on Spotify and every track afterwards will be a banger that I love, because they've like taken into consideration what I'm listening to. So I think it's going to be tough times ahead for radio.
So like the fashionable activism is like where people blindly follow things without truly knowing what they're following or what they're getting involved in. So it's like, and it's like, so the individualism, should people, is where, do you find there's a big problem of people not knowing themselves or not following their gut or
Yeah,
I just wanted to do your views on it, not so much a question, just
no,
your
it's
views
like 100%
on those.
Like, even if you think back to all of that Blackout Tuesday where everyone was posting a black square on their Instagram
with
no information bar a black square, filling up whole hashtags where people were trying to prove that the police were brutalizing people, and they've now filled up the whole hashtag with loads of white people putting black squares because their friends did it. Like, someone that I know put a black square on her Instagram story because she refused to put it on her feed because she didn't want to mess up what her Instagram looked like. And I was like, so you don't care what's going on? Because if you're going to post something so everyone knows that you've posted it and go, look, I'm a nice person, look at me, I'm nice. For what? Like, I went to the protest, obviously, in my town, and it was, we had, like, biker gangs pretending to shoot us. Like, it was really weird and obviously quite traumatising because I wanted to do my speech, but I was scared. And there was people that, the same people that used to call me the N-word when I was a kid, sat watching me, clapping me on when I was doing a speech. I was like, you lot, it's you. I'm in this speech that I'm talking about. I'm talking about you. And you're sat there crying, clapping, going, oh my God, I'm so sorry I did that to you. And I'm like, you've traumatised me. It's too late. It's too late. But back then, when everything was okay, something dramatic and drastic happened that you've just found out about that I've been following for years and years and years. And now everyone's going, this is wrong. Like, this is really bad. Did you know, like, we had a conversation, didn't we, last lockdown, where I was crying because I couldn't turn my phone off because every day I was getting like 55, 60 messages of people asking me to explain things to them. And I was like, I have to explain it because I want to be that person that people come to and go, well, Ellie knows the answer. And like, I speak eloquently and nicely to people. I don't attack them because as much as I'm frustrated, I want you to know everything that I know. And the nicest way for me to do that is to just explain in the same way that I learned, which was through reading stuff. And I couldn't turn my phone off because when I turned my phone back on, I had about 100 messages of people be like, you're ignoring me. How am I supposed to learn if you're ignoring me? And I was like, I can't be a fountain of knowledge. I'm a black woman, I understand that. Mm. But this is traumatizing for me. Mm. And you're further traumatizing me by making me explain to you what you can see in front of you. Yeah, like, how did I learn it all from reading books? Like, yeah. It's reliving trauma that is so deeply rooted. Like, I was sending people cases from years and years and years and years ago. Mm. And they go, I never knew that happened. Because you didn't care to learn. Mm-hmm. Like, how come I know then? You didn't care to learn.
Yeah,
we'll keep that as a prop.
Place on the shelves.
Got our first prop factory.
That's okay.
Oh, no, we got these.
What?
Oh, yeah, I've seen your little...
These from Ellie.
Yeah, nice. I wonder where they came from.
Yeah, Ellie bought them for us.
Decent.
My one's yellow.
Mine's blue.
Yeah,
nice.
Yeah, I'm pink.
I'm glad you know your colours, bro.
Yeah, man, yeah.
I'm going to say that I was thinking about that, man. I probably read the same article as you, and it was just like, you know, an elder lady. And, you know, I mean, she didn't even recognise her own husband or her own children or anything like this. And you'd put on, like, whatever it was she was listening to, like some Nina Simone, and she'll like every she'll tell every lyrics, and she'll tell you.
Taps in.
It also evokes memories as well, because she'll tell you where she was the first time she heard it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's just like, wow, like music's got the power to unlock these parts of the brain. You know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, that alone says something. You know what I mean?
I was reading an article in New Scientist, and they were saying it was about maintaining strengthening your neural pathways as you get older, four things like dementia and stuff like that. And they were saying like things like Sudoku and these fucking brain training apps, and they were like saying it's bollocks, like none of them work. And they were saying one of the only things to work is to learn an instrument.
Okay.
And they were saying the scientists have now proven that the pathways that it strengthens in your brain from learning this instrument. And they say like, and they also say as well, people who can play an instrument or can sing or whatever, they're more in tune with other people's emotions because they can hear it better. And they can hear the nuances in people's voice, like someone who might be holding it together, but they're still a little bit like stressed, and they can pick up on them. Do you know what I mean? It's, the empathy's there more. It is. It's fucking powerful. Yeah. Music is fucking powerful.
It is. And the thing is, like, you know, obviously, like, please, if you know them, tell me their name. One person who doesn't like music. We all listen to different types of genres. What I mean? But there's you might meet somebody who's like, I'm not really into hip hop. I'm not really into house. But I've never met anyone that's like, I just don't like music.
I know. I've met people that don't like music.
They're all
I genuinely don't like
music. They're all Tories.
Yeah, no. He is a Tory. Jono, I know you're listening, bruv. You're a Tory and you don't like music. Even though his favourite song's like Sean Paul, Give Me the Light or something dumb like that.
Do you know what?
He doesn't like it.
They're rare.
Do you know what? Yeah. If there was a person that existed out there, then he would definitely be a Tory. He would. You know what I mean? If you were going to be like, do you know what I mean? He's like a humanitarian mental health advocate and he doesn't like music. I'd have been like, I can't believe it.
Yeah. I can't imagine Boris listening to music.
I can imagine Boris listening to music.
Can you? What type?
It'd be like Chumbawamba, like fucking
Stormzy.
What's the England football song? We're coming home. I can imagine with his fucking blonde hair. Have you seen the Jim will paint it Tory squat party? Boris is there. He's got his top off, right? He's got a note in it, rolled up note in his hand, fucking bloke, mate, looking, Jim will paint it, Tory squat party.
I've seen the one where it's the two caterpillars, Marks and Spencer's and Aldi, and they're having that court case going on.
Let's start at the beginning of your life of stopping eating meat and putting down. Like, how did that happen? I know how it happened. And it's funny. It's a funny story. Go on, tell the people.
Shall I be honest?
Yeah.
So it started at Glastonbury four years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I was with a friend, Calvin. Yeah, you agree with this.
Was I there?
Yeah, you were there as well.
Of course I was.
Yeah, so basically, I'd already started like consciously not eating meat. I think I went to Iceland. And I ate mink well. And it was like the best meat I've ever eaten. Better than any Hudson steak, anything. And I thought, I'll just eat another mammal. Like, I can't eat meat again.
Mm.
So I was at Glastonbury and Calvin was like, oh, you'll be vegan by the end of the week. I'll have you vegan. I was like, no, you won't. Anyway, so the week went on And every morning we got up, we'd obviously have one meal for the day. Mm. And he's always like, yes, go to this vegan van, get a vegan burrito. And there's always the pengiest girls working on this van. And no queue. So I was like, this vegan life is easy. There's peng girls, there's no queues. Like, I'm not going hungry, everyone else is starving. I was like, do you know what? This vegan life's for me. Mm. And then I remember at the end of the week, I got home and I probably lost about a stone. And I had a six pack and I was like...
From not eating meat?
Wow. I don't think it was
or the dancing.
Or the dancing.
The disco biscuits.
But yeah, so obviously I was like, wow, but like, although I was only eating one meal a day, I still felt like it was everything I needed. Like, I had the energy, I was good. Like, probably wasn't from the food, but yeah, no, that's where it began.
Do you still only eat one meal a day?
No.
Yeah. Yeah. Just the other day, a man put up his thing, like, he's like, don't get any dates from Marks and Spencer.
Yeah, nah. They did, like, the dates had hepatitis on
it. I love it.
And I only found out, I seen Jinxter put a story on Instagram, and it was saying, like, if you've got these dates, the Taste of Difference Majul dates, right?
Yeah.
With this code K004, take them back, they've got hepatitis A. And, like, the day before, me and my daughter were sat there just yamming the dates. I think I was like, oh, my God.
But from Marks and Spencer's,
No, they're Sainsbury's. Sainsbury's ones, yeah. Taste of Difference, right? I didn't know fruit could get hepatitis A.
No, I didn't know fruit could catch STDs full stop. Like, what the fuck?
You shouldn't look for validation through doing something creative if it impacts your outside life to an extent where you're not enjoying it or you're not spending meaningful time, because at the end of the day, like, that's what I want to be remembered for. I want to be remembered for how I treated my friends and family and, like, how much time I spent with them. Nothing is more important than that. Like, doesn't matter, you could be the best fucking musician or songwriter in the world, it doesn't mean shit if you're an asshole.
Yeah.
Like, who cares? Like, I don't want to be that person. I'd rather take a break. And, like, to your point, like, how long will I have a break for next year? I don't know. Like, maybe it'll be 2 months. Maybe it'll be 18. Like,
yeah.
But I feel like nothing's more important than doing, like, spending time with people you care about, doing mundane shit. Like, just cooking dinner, man.
If anyone knows Graham Hancock,
yeah,
he's local.
Yeah.
Hook us up.
Isn't it?
Yeah, we really want him and his daughter.
Not like that. Come on.
I think what's really sad is that I think that diet culture ultimately comes from money.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, a company saying, like, oh, my diet is the best one, you need to go on this one. And that company might be... kind of so big that they managing to get themselves on magazines, managing to get themselves on TV, etc. Mm-hmm. And then if you're not really in the know, then you're going to be like, oh, they got, they look like that, so I'm going to follow that.
Yeah.
And it's actually when you, like, take away all the layers of all these diets, it does all just come down to money. Mm. And so it's really sad because, like, even like a diet plan. So if I said, like, right, follow this diet plan, you'll lose weight and it will work. Mm. If you follow that to a T, it will work. Mm. But then what happens at the end of that diet plan? You're going, like, eat normally, for example, or, like, you'll go off track because you've got a birthday or, like, you're seeing your friends or something like that. And so you'll have to go off track from the diet plan or whatever it is you might be following.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've lost the weight, so you stop it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And then so the weight starts creeping back on. You've learned nothing about lifestyle.
Yeah.
So then all your mind is thinking, and what these diet companies do is, oh, you lost weight when you did this. Come back here.
Mm.
And there's no knowledge in terms of empowering that person of how you lost that weight.
Yeah.
It's just follow this, but I'm not going to tell you how it works because then you won't come back.
On average, students receive 23.9 contact hours of nutrition instruction during medical school. So that's the entire range of medical.
Isn't that 10 years as well, medical school?
Yeah.
Oh my god!
What is that? Where's that? UK or America?
America.
That's America.
Wow.
It says only 40 schools require the minimum 25 hours recommended.
Wow.
So you don't even need to do it.
American GPs are basically fucking drug dealers.
Yeah, literally.
Give me some Oxycontin.
Yeah. Right, one must go. You've got to choose, basically, one to never exist.
Oh,
goes away.
Yeah,
all right, I'm going to start with a difficult one for you. reggae or soulful house? I'd like to. We could go into this one a bit more deeply.
Damn right, I could.
So we could go and explain why.
All right, quickly then. Based only based on what I'm doing right now, as a personal thing, I would get rid of reggae. I can hear everyone killing me. Jamaki, you're still on me, boy. No, but it's only based on what I'm doing now, so I will pick Soulful House. And also, if reggae was as loving as what it was in the 80s and 90s, which it is not now, I would most probably have swayed for reggae, but it's not. Yeah. The whole thing about reggae was great because it was a fraternity. There was a group of you doing it. These days, you don't. Actually, at this time, there's one little sound in Bristol coming up right now called Red Fire. And everything that they're doing it in the way that should have been done back in the 80s. There's a few of them. They're a good collective. They all go out. They all market the sound and distribute stuff about the sound on social medias. It's a real collective push. So, go and check them out. Red Fire from Bristol. Yeah.
Cool, man.
Nice sound system.
Red wine or lager?
Lager's got to go, dude.
Yeah.
Lager's got to go.
Every time. All right, here we go. Here's another difficult one. Football or music? There's only one clear winner for me, obviously.
Right, okay. Today was the last set of fixtures on the Premiership. So football's technically gone for the next 3 months. So, and based on what I'm doing now, music's got to stay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Come on. Man, there's going to be guys out there phoning me up after this.
Who even are you, man?
Who are you, man?
All right. Spicy, not mild, all right? Spicy jerk chicken or fish and chips?
You know I'm going to go fish and chips. I just cannot do anything spicy. I'm so sorry.
So when jerk chicken's gone?
It's gone, man. It's like, I don't go...
Wait. Reggae's gone. Lager's gone, football's gone, and jerk chicken's gone.
What kind of dude are you? Yeah, it is. Oh no. Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't do spicy food. It gets into the pores of my tongue and it's horrible. Sorry, too much info. Any more?
Yeah, talking about too much info. Foot fetishes or bondage?
What I would like? What I'd like them to be? How does that one go? It's been a while.
You have to get rid of one. So you can either get rid of foot fetishes or you can get rid of bondage.
No, man, I'll get rid of foot fetishes.
Yeah?
But everybody likes to be tied up, man.
Yeah, come on.
I can't move.
Did you know that women sync their periods in the house to the dominant female?
Yeah.
So the dominant female will, if she's on her period, all the other women will be on their period. And this is, they're saying, it's something to do with evolution. So as evolution, you want the two strongest of humans to procreate, to further evolve a species.
Yeah.
So if she's off the market, they're all off the market. And that is why women in a household's period sink to the dominant female of the household.
That's mad.
Yeah. Which is interesting.
Because I know they all sink and that, but I didn't know that makes sense though.
Yeah.
It makes a lot of sense.
That's where the evolutionary or the allegedly evolutionary point of women sinking their periods comes from.
Because they're always sink at work, don't you?
They're always miserable at the same fucking time.
Nah, I always, I'm pretty savage with them, man. Like, I'll come in and be like, you're on your period. And they'll be like, how do you know? I'm like, I can smell it. Nah, I know. I'm like, nah, I just know, because they all have this vibe about them.
Yeah.
I'm quite in tune with my feminine side anyway, so I don't care, I embrace that side.
Do you get periods?
Sometimes.
But anyway, now, they have 14 parishes. I think an alternative for parish in this country, we would call them counties. So there's 14 parishes in Jamaica. It was rumoured that at one time there could have been up to 16 active sound systems to one parish.
Wow, yeah. That's a lot.
In Jamaica.
And how many parishes again?
14.
Yeah, so that's a lot.
14 times 16?
Maths.
Okay.
We did a workshop with Akala. And Akala's like quite a big UK rapper, quite conscious. He's got a thing called the Royal Shakespearean Company. And what he does is shows comparisons with Shakespeare and hip hop. So like one of the first tasks that we did with him is he had loads of little cards and they had Shakespearean quotes on. And they also had hip hop quotes, like from songs. And he mixed them all up and we had to put them in piles and go, right, this is a Shakespearean quote, this is a hip hop quote. Couldn't do it.
Wow.
It all looked exactly the same.
Yeah.
And like, a few of them I obviously knew because they were like Nas, Guru, Mos Def.
That's why I fucked your bitch, you fat motherfucker.
Yeah, I wonder who's
Wow, Shakespeare's
that.
Crazy.
Shakespeare.
Shakespeare's got bars.
Yeah. But yeah, it was interesting.
I used to love that song, dude. That was my favorite fucking song, by the way.
Yeah.
I hit him up, man.
Yeah.
Oh, I fucking love that one, man.
It's, Tupac, man, he was very, like, from that realm as well, though, wasn't he? He was like, we went to like drama school and that, didn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, yeah.
You went to Juilliard, yeah.
Did you, mate? I watched a sick video the other day. It was Shock G, break from Digital Underground, who died recently. The one, and he was breaking down artists of where they got their flow from.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And he, where's the Tupac
and he,
from?
Mate, wait, like, he, well, I was like, whoa, it blew my mind. I was like, I would have never liked for that. And he said, Tupac got his flow from the likes of Malcolm X and people like that. He was raised around Black Panthers. If you listen to the way Tupac, he's like, I know, take me alive. I'm a preacher. Do you mean it's like, and he's
a bit like whole, DMX.
Almost preachy.
Yeah, and I was like, holy shit. He's right. He's got that whole Malcolm X, like, sort of like, I'm on a microphone, and you got to bear in mind, like, if he's brought up around Black Panthers and all these people that have raised him, he's going to be going to a lot of these rallies and hearing a lot of these people on a microphone.
Yeah.
So I was like, whoa.
That's actually true.
Yeah, and it was like, shit. It was like, blew my mind. I was like, yeah, that's where Tupac's flow is from.
Oh, yeah. Do you want to test it? Yeah, I think they are ready.
Yeah, I'll test it.
So we got our first complaint from this guy.
Brendan, episode one. Was episode one got complaints?
Episode zero.
Episode zero, the
pilot. Well, do you want to?
Brendan should be our fact checker.
Yeah, it would be good.
So actually, Brendan is the kind of guy who, like, he'll hear a claim on anything, and he'll like to go and look at it and be like, "Well, that's not true."
Sounds factually unrealistic.
So one of the things that he picked up on was the fact that, well, you explain.
Yeah. So no, your exact words were, "I don't understand why people struggle with a diet." If you want to
wait now, I do though.
Yeah,
because man's obese.
Mate, I just went and tried. I ordered an England shirt ages ago. Went to pick it up today, double XL. Oh. Looked like a fucking sausage skin. Like, I looked like David off of Little Britain. and the guy I was getting it off, Coops, went, don't look that bad.
Like, yeah, he wants to make a sell.
You can see my stretch marks through the shirt. But anyway, no, you said, I don't understand. Like, if you want to get a takeaway, just have some cauliflower wing things.
Right.
And I was like, well, wait a minute. Like, I understand they might be all right, but it's not the same as getting, like, badgie, madras, pita rice, naan bread, four poppadoms and some chutney, do you know what I mean?
Mm. Get that. So.
And then he started mocking me on Instagram.
Oh, mate, do you know what? We haven't done any ones got to go. We haven't planned them this week.
Yeah, I want to do some of them. They were good last week. John Seaton's.
Yeah.
The fapping one.
Wait till you hear the ones on Markey's, because the Markey episode ain't out yet. The Markey one is fucking gold.
The one. Should we go and show it to the camera first?
The one's got to go.
I've never had this, anything like this. No. Like I said, I had chicken wings for lunch. Mate, are they cold? Has he done them in the microwave?
I've never had that. What he's done.
How have you made it? Why are they in a Tupperware? They cold?
No.
Microwave?
That's hot, it's hot.
Fucking hell. Mate, you're a wanker. I was actually looking at that thinking, is he fucking being serious? I'm not buying it.
I rang him this morning and I said, you bringing Brendan's cauliflower wings? And he said, He said, mate, I ain't got time for that. I've had such a busy weekend. He goes, do you know what I'm going to do, actually? I'm just going to put some cauliflower and put some hot sauce on. So yeah, anyone who's not on the camera and is listening to this on Spotify, Roscoe basically just gave Brendan a Tupperware pot full of raw cauliflower with some buffalo sauce on. I'm going to try it.
Have fun. Don't want to ruin my palate.
That is nice. I've eaten worse things.
Yeah, you're right. Like chicken.
Oh, fucking ridiculous comment. You didn't ask for shit as well.
Can we drink it?
Yeah. So, I'm going to... So, the blueberry juniper, to me, it tastes like a fresh blueberry muffin.
I want to drink it straight.
It's so good. Yeah, drink it straight with a bit of ice. It's so good.
Did you hear that?
It's...
Yeah,
yeah, the spirit shouldn't be doing that.
It's,
guys, look, I'm literally, I've never been this sweaty in my life.
Oh my God.
I told you.
Oh my God. Sainsbury's. What are you doing?
What? I want to sniff it.
That's what she said. Sorry, Bella.
You can't taste the alcohol. Well, smell the alcohol.
It's because you hadn't put it in your mouth.
Smell the alcohol.
This is my favorite one ever. Yeah, that smells really good.
Okay, well, drink it.
Okay.
Yeah,
it. Where's the stuff?
You're never going to make it out. You're going to be flat on your ass you in think? Like half an hour. Yeah.
Do you think that?
100%.
Nah, it's 100% wrong.
I was doing a video for a client. It's one of my mum's Russian students.
Oh, you told me about it. Fuck. Yeah, man.
Basically, she's getting a divorce from her husband because he cheated on her. He got with his secretary and had a kid behind her back.
As you did.
That's not funny, by the way. It's
not
funny.
But like,
it's ridiculous.
Yeah, and basically she wants me. She's a lawyer, so she knows what she's doing. And like the question he's asking is like, you know, like to get her money. He's like, what have you done in this, like, these lockdowns? Have you been working? Have you been doing this? Because he wants to prove that she's not been doing anything.
Yeah.
But she's been, like, she owns, like, a few houses. She's been renovating them. She's genuinely been busy, but she needs to prove it. So as a joke, as a gag, but she knows she'll get away with it. She got me to create a fake book and, like, a fake commercial for, I think, what was it called? It was Divorce and Tonic or something like that. And basically, she's doing this to, like, make a book to... show that she's been doing some work or some sorts, and I can't remember what the book's about, but I like design a graphic design.
Divorce and Tonic.
Yeah, and then the like, and it's like a TV show mock that I did where it's basically her taking the piss out of him.
Yeah.
And it's the best thing. And she's shown it in court to show that this is what she's been working on. And apparently they loved it. So
that's amazing,
like, it probably made like the people in court's day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like to me, like
so
fucking,
like boring. So like, all the time.
Here
Divorce
we go.
Divorce and Tonic.
Yeah, that's great, man. I'd like to see it.
I can send it to you. You can overlay it if you want.
A tour. It's an illegal tour, so obviously I don't recommend your listeners go on it. Definitely do. there's a tour in a certain small town in the south of Colombia where you can like make your own coke.
Mm.
So one of my first blog posts was about that, and then I go back to it again in the book.
Mm.
So yeah, I've been collecting materials since then.
Okay. So that's mad.
That was a trippy tour though, man. That was so sketchy.
Dangerous? Felt dangerous?
It probably wasn't dangerous, because like obviously like loads of people have been on it, but it still felt dangerous because like we had to ride a horse somewhere in the middle of the sticks, like in the middle of these like jungle, like forested hills. And we got to this small farm. It wasn't like a proper like coca plantation, like massive ones, because they don't really exist anymore. It's mostly small farms now,
right?
But like at any point I thought, you know, like this army helicopter is gonna land, and like I'm just gonna like run through the jungle, and obviously I'm gonna get caught because there are gonna be trained soldiers chasing me. And then like I'm just gonna be calling my mum from a Colombian prison cell. Mom, it happened again.
Yeah, mad.
Well, I was in London, and obviously I was up to no good. I was just a naughty boy, wasn't I? Because I just loved that lifestyle, and I was used to free booze and free drugs and free everything. And when that got took away from me, I was like, well, I still want it. So I was out in London taking it, and I got quite heavily involved with FLIP, Flip, Set, Flip, Crucial Flip, which was like Nova, Wordsmith, me, Yayo, Saint, a few other rappers, and some bad stuff when I was living in Camden went down. People died, a friend of theirs died, my family got the blame for it. This is all years ago, so I had to duck out of London. And that situation followed me around for years, but what it did, it made me come back to Bristol, where I was safe. Do you know what I mean? I'm known in the ends from day, and people there looked after me. Do you know what I mean? Next thing I know, I've got a crackhead knocking on my door going, I'm not being funny, Noodles, but there's 10 Somalians at the front line with about 10 grand offering money for your address right now. I was like, whoa. He's like, don't worry, no one's told them nothing. They've got jogged on. And it was like, but those men, those people actually came for me to take my life in Bristol. But from that, I felt like Bristol kind of held me. I was like, yeah, I'm safe here. Like, the streets just done saved me here. You know what I'm saying? And it was a very real situation. Like.
Yeah, that's love, man. Do you know what I mean? It's like fucking when someone like fucking turning
especially
down,
when you're a crackhead and they're offering you 10 grand.
Yeah. I mean, when you're in that lifestyle, you ain't got fuck all money, and someone's like, here's 10 grand, all I want is his dress.
Yeah. Never got me, man.
That's love. That
man could have turned me in for a handful of cash right then. Yeah. And I would have got bodied. But, you know, and then I sort of felt, I thought, you know what, like Bristol sort of held me. So big up Bristol, big up the ends for that, man. You know what I'm saying? Come on.
Yeah.
Why?
No, and it takes it it's like,
because once you go through that honeymoon period, that's when the work begins.
Real facts, you know what I mean? That's why I think as well, it's like doing things of like where you, it is better to wait for too long.
Yeah,
because like
the you can iron out all your problems.
You know what I mean? You've lived together already. You've done all this shit. It's like well, like not just get married. It's like fucking. Then you're like, fuck. Actually, I realise I don't like you.
Yeah, yeah, you're a dick.
Yeah, yeah. Like,
like you know, you do that thing. You know that. There's always one thing, bro.
What that thing that you used to really like me doing?
Yeah.
Like, fucking pisses me off.
I tolerated it. Like I tolerated it. You feel me? Like I didn't want to say anything too early, but that actually pisses me off.
Yeah.
Do you know what? While I'm at it, I fucking don't like this either. All that.
And then it becomes like a competition. They're like, well, you know what you do?
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, shit.
Here we go.
Oopsie.
Do I leave now? Yeah. Trust me.
But it is. It's like anything like it. It's like take work. I remember talking to my mate Sean. It's like, whatever you put your time and effort into is what will fucking grow.
Yeah.
Trust.
And like, if you like the kids, I remember like the last year, like fucking slam the music. And then like Carvel come up to me recently. He said, fucking all you do is sit on that computer. I was like, oh, that hurts. Like, do you mean, like, fucking, consciously, like, recently, I've been like, fucking, like, okay, no, I need to fucking make an effort.
Yeah.
Like, when Noodles was on, we're saying the same things. Like, you love your passion, but it's like, no, you can't fucking let things fucking slip around
it's
you.
Yeah,
you
know what I mean? It's like, it's with everything balanced, bro. Yeah, literally, man. I was just about to say that, like, you always got to take time for other things. You get me? I think you get, especially something like music, or arts things, like it takes a lot of time and effort.
Yeah.
So you end up surrounding yourself around it so much that like, you get me? Like Sundays normally is the day where it's a chill thing. It's with family, you get me? Like I relax, you get me? And et cetera. But you get me? Now and then there might be a certain time where it's like, you get me? My manager calls me up and it's like, yo fam, like, do you mind? Yeah, do this and that. And but these days, like, I locked that off and like, nah, Sunday's my day of rest. Yeah, you get what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, that's good.
That's
important.
But as well, it's like the whole thing I don't like is where everyone's like rushing to get to normality.
Yes.
It's like, was it ever normal?
This is
what are you rushing back to?
Back to exactly.
Why don't we rebuild something?
Why don't we rebuild something better? Yeah, you know what I mean? Because it's like, okay, it was normal, like living in the UK. Like we've generally got a lot of opportunities and we live well, but like majority of the world are fucking, they're on their ass. Like,
when you say that, Jaffa said to me yesterday, I can't remember the exact percentages, but Jaffa said to me yesterday, the amount of countries in the world that have gone from extreme poverty to not extreme poverty and they're in a better place than they ever have been.
Yeah.
Is, I can't remember what the percentage was, but compared to 30 years ago, it's like...
Yeah, this is true. But this is an argument that they use a lot as well, which... So the extreme wealth gap, the argument that they use is like, well, it's okay because Sub-Saharan Africa is now got the poverty level of Portugal in the 1960s.
That's good.
It's good in the right direction. But that doesn't fucking like...
It doesn't put it right
that you've got Bezos and people like that who accumulate so much wealth putting people into space. Like, it's good. And it is good. Like, I'm not discrediting that, but it's an argument that they only use one. Just use that part of the
Because you need to change things, like literally the foundations and infrastructure, how things are done. Because it's kind of like there's an argument or there was a study or something like that where it basically said like, even if, say, everyone in the world, yeah, let's say they got rid of wealth gap and that, and everyone had the equal amount of money and whatnot, I'm still getting smashed there. But say, let's say everyone had the equal amount of money, opportunities, and, well, just say everyone was as rich as each other, yeah? They said it over time, the rich people who are rich now, the billionaires now, they will still end up being richer than people just because of, like, they know how to be rich. They know how things work. They know this and that. So, you know, even if everyone started again from zero, say, you know, you're not going to get everyone living well, because it is about, you know, people always going to find a way to, well, not always, well, you know, this is what we need to change, is changing ways of how people can better themselves at the expense of someone
else. Yeah, like the resources and the tools from the beginning for everyone. Because I don't want to live in a world where everyone gets the same. I don't think that's healthy. I do think competition is healthy, but I also...
Equal opportunity.
Right. But the unfettered capitalism and the way that it is not healthy and it's not fair. And I love the American dream. I love the idea of capitalism. I think it's fucking... But in reality, there's what it's become and the flaws of it. Yeah. It's not. Like,
there's a whole,
it's not what it's sold, innit?
There's movements, aren't they? And they call it conscious capitalism. So it is. And it's literally like, it's like, look, this is, like, the fact is, capitalism, people are like, yeah, get rid of capitalism. I'm like, yeah, there's definitely bad things with it. But at the same time, we have, you know, the way that, the fact that we could even say that, a lot of the time is like, we got things, people be saying that using a smartphone. And it's kind of like, you're not going to have a smartphone without capitalism.
Exactly. Yeah,
obviously,
yeah.
The whole thing is making sure, making capitalism work correctly.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? So it's empowering people to be able to use these things that exist, which you're not going to get rid of. Because I, you know... And same way, you know, that's why you see the big business, that's how they survive, because they get in the, you know, big industries, they will move into other industries and like, okay, cool, tobacco is dying out, so let's move into marijuana.
Yeah.
Let's move into that. So that's how they survive. So, you know, that's how they keep their control. So it's like, look, all right, let's get people more wise up to other different things. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Well, it's like they operate kind of like record labels do, major labels. So a major label, right? People never see how many people a major label signs.
Exactly.
They sign loads of people.
They
pump money into it. The ones that do stick, your Taylor Swifts, your Kanye Wests, like the superstars of the world, is where they make the money. They actually make a lot of losses, like, on these leaders, people that, like, they don't. It's the same as, like, Google and people like that. They just buy companies.
Yeah.
Buy that. Does it work? Yeah. Do you mean it's the same sort of thing?
Do you reckon it's too late for change?
No.
No,
I don't think it's too late for change, but I just don't. But I think people need to be perhaps realistic on how fast they think change can come about. I don't think it could be a thing like, oh yeah, do this overnight, blah blah.
Yeah.
I think we perfectly see the whole Black Lives Matter thing.
Yeah,
and it's kind of like, you know, people drop off it, and some people like hot on it for a couple months, and it's like, man, but it is good raising awareness, posting stuff, but that's not how things change. Things change is like your day to day lifestyles and
situations. I also feel with that. That Black Lives Matter, it benefited the people it wasn't supposed to benefit a whole lot more.
You got a token
gesture of the Derek Chauvin case. It's like, great. Like, there's your token gesture. But the actual people that benefited from the vision and like did this whole like, and that's the other thing. Like, it's just like the you're not going to do it whilst you've got people squabbling amongst themselves.
Exactly.
And it's like, I don't agree with everything the guy says, but what's his name? What's his fucking name? He's got the book, The Madness of Crowds.
I'm not sure.
Like, there's a lot I don't agree, but like the thing, like, I do agree with him. He's like, look, he goes, once you've got institutions getting involved, they're not involved for the right reasons. What's his name? I can't remember his name, it'll come to me. But he's gay. And like, he's like basically saying, he's like, I go to my bank to bank. I don't go to my bank to be gay. I go there for it's a bank. Like, bank, and when they're like putting these things, it's like, are they doing it for the? They're not doing it for the right reasons.
It's selling, isn't it?
I get you fully.
Do you know what I mean?
I fully get it, bro. And it's just kind of like, it's almost, I suppose we almost be patronizing in a way as well. And it's just like, really, all right, cool. Because I remember when, like, it's funny enough, the day that Colson's Tower got dragged down, I was out, like, this was like before it happened. And like, I think the protests were going on, whatnot, but I wasn't there, like, to that. But I was walking to my yard. And this random woman just stopped and just started speaking to me. She was nice and that. And she was like, "Are you going to the protest today?" I was like, "Nah, probably not, blah, 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 blah." But afterwards, it was a nice conversation. But I was like, why did she stop and speak to me? She probably obviously thought, oh, I need to like...
Reach out.
And I'm like, I get the gesture, but at the same time, it's like, what's the point in it?
Yeah.
It's kind of like, you know, I'd rather people challenge, you know,
other people
in your own circles, people that like, don't think you have to be an activist, man. Like,
no, you don't.
Effect the change.
You don't have to be an activist.
Just pull people.
Call people out. Like, like if the people as well, they think that calling people out, you don't have to call people out in a
public
in an aggressive way. It's not like,
thank you.
You'll be in a cunt. You don't have to turn up like that. It's like, oh,
then you just shut them off.
By saying this, you could make someone feel this.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Straight.
But it's like I think the best way, like, don't even like when calling people out, don't even like tell them, question them, it's like same with like raising a kid. Like with your kids, you tell you, like, if I tell my son to constantly keep doing something, don't do that because it's bad, he's gonna fucking go and do it. Where if you stop and you like say to his, like, what do you think could happen?
Yeah.
And you get them to think about
it.
Do you mean it's just like there's like the ways of doing like that, and it's true. It's like there's just like all these talks. And I do think as well, like over time, so when you've said to the about the change, I also think that change can happen, but like you said as well, I think it's like these hierarchies and fucking systems that we've got, like, they've taken how long to build?
Exactly.
Like, you know, like the industrial.
You ain't gonna dismantle an empire overnight, man.
And like dismantle, it's like I don't ever think it will be dismantled. Yeah. It will just change and alter for. Yeah.
Definitely. And I think a lot of it would be down to like next generation of like kids and that. You know what I mean?
So that's what they were saying the other day on the Brett was on. Not Brett, Eric was on with Yuri and someone else. And that's what he was saying. He was like, why have we got like Fauci, Joe Biden, all these people? And he's like, get young people in with fresh ideas. He's like, they're going to be dead in a minute.
Cyrus, has he had any influence on you?
Yeah, mate. I think he's quite inspiring to watch, man.
He is.
Yeah, you watch what he's doing and... I think, you know, he's at such a fucking great place. And I think, you know...
Mentally and physically, man. And fucking, he's...
Living
he's out there.
Life.
He's living in life. Yeah. Like, do you mean?
That's what I mean, mate. When you see that and you think, "Oh, come on, man!" Like, you know, we're all fucking human, and I think, you know, we can all be at these places.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, it just comes down to
because he's from Radstock, right?
He
is from Radstock.
Yeah,
isn't
he's from Rando, man.
Yeah.
So that's what I mean. When you, I think this is a thing as well, mate. When you see people you know or from your area doing things, you think, fucking hell, I know I can do that.
Yeah.
If you can do it, I can do that.
Yeah.
Fucking, I might reach out to him when he's back, man. We should get him on air.
Yeah.
When he's around.
Yeah, 100%.
When he's not fucking in Miami with loads of sexy women fucking swinging off of bars, like, you know what
I mean? He was in the DJ Khaled shoot as well, wasn't he?
Was he?
Yeah, did you see that?
Fucking,
was
nah,
it?
Yeah.
He got himself on that as well. Because that's what I mean. I obviously got him on Instagram. I see him doing all this cool shit. And then I seen him like going into this place and I seen DJ Khaled on it and I was like, what the fuck? But he's like, if you watch that tune, I did it. He's like in the background, just like as he walks in through this little beast up against, like perched up against this massive pillar.
Mm.
And I was like, fucking man. Like,
that's mental.
Yeah, fucking big up
man,
isn't
it?
Yeah,
Starboy. Fucking, you want to check him out on 100%. Fucking Instagram, man. He's fucking, basically anyone who doesn't know, he's he does like the whole bar spot kind of thing. Kind of sense, but he's fucking really good here, man. Yeah. He's fucking just put the work in and he's just fucking living a fantastic life. Endorsements, getting fucking paid for all these things to
like
travel the
JD,
world.
Like front of JD Sports.
Yeah,
like,
man. Do you know what I mean? He's doing it. Fucking, so yeah, fucking big up to him, man. Do you know what I mean? He's fucking, 100%. Yeah. And again, like, do you mean it's like you said, local people.
Mm.
When you see local people doing these successful things, it's, it's good. And these are the kind of people I think that more people should be focusing on.
Mm-hmm.
If we can find more of these people,
local stars,
local motivative to being people that are doing good things and positive people. Who, do you mean fucking follow them? Fuck the news. Yeah, like, do you mean like
fill your timelines up with that sort of stuff?
Positivity.
You know what I mean? I went through Instagram not too long ago, man. I just got rid of just stuff I don't really interact with anymore. Or
I did that 2 weeks ago, man.
Oh, mate, it's so like refreshing.
See, I need
feeds look so much better.
I need to do it because like I've gone from like being like on Instagram flat out to like posting once a week when I do a podcast episode because it's just like.
Mm.
got into that. Like everything that when I started out, like at the beginning of last year, I was like, don't want to do it for that. And it's like, oh man, I'm fucking in it. I'm fucking scrolling. I'm getting sucked into these narratives and do, absorbing into it. It's like,
you do, bro.
Step back. You know what I mean? So yeah, I need a good purge, man. It's fucking
100%.
Again, it's like something's always like the trouble is they know how to trigger you.
They do,
yeah,
and they know what
you want to see.
What's there? Oh, look at this.
Yeah.
Oh no, I'm gonna talk. Oh
yeah.
Yo, that's quite big.
I used to be petrified of blokes with beards when I was a kid.
Is it? And now you've got one.
It's like Batman. Yeah. It's like Batman, isn't it? Become what you fear.
The first person I thought of was my Jamaican Donny. I'm not going to say his name. But I seen all of these different coloured emojis of women and pregnant. So one of my friends has got 9 baby mums.
Mm.
18 babies.
Fucking hell.
Mm. And the other day he was bragging to me, yeah, my baby mama's coming down from Birmingham with my daughter. You get to meet her. I was like, yeah, cool, man. Wicked. So he comes over. He's like, yeah, this is my daughter. I can't remember what her name was. He's like, this is my daughter, such and such. I'm like, oh, hello. Like, respect. Dun, dun, dun. And I'm seeing a little boy that the baby mum's holding.
Mm.
So I'm like, is this your boy as well? Yeah, yeah, this is my newest youth, fam. I'm like, is it? What's his name? Man just looks at me. He's like,
wow. That's not even funny, but like, wow. Shit.
Yeah, my Donnie's putting Drake to shame out here.
Yeah, yeah.
If there's any bears left, I'm going to grab one of the way.
Yeah, I'm quite
hot. Thank fuck, he's gone.
It's the Jimson show.